Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust over 40 years of experience providing innovative pension solutions. Zurich Corporate Pensions. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
As you've been hearing, the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson is meeting political leaders in Northern Ireland this afternoon in an attempt to find a breakthrough that will allow a power-sharing executive to be formed in Stormont. Stephen Farry, MP, is deputy leader of the Alliance Party and was one of those at that meeting with Boris Johnson just a short while ago. He joins us now on the line, and you're very welcome to the programme, Stephen, this evening. We'll start with the meeting, and can you tell us, how did it go?
Well, it was a very frustrating meeting. I mean, it's not entirely clear why the Prime Minister is here, because a lot of the next steps seem to be preordained, so it was, to an extent, a fairly futile exercise in some respects. I mean, we did have the opportunity for a robust exchange with the Prime Minister on a number of points. And we're seeing this real dichotomy between today what has been a lot of almost conciliatory words about trying to find consensus around the protocol, trying to make sure the Assembly works. But yet we understand tomorrow that Liz Truss, the Foreign Secretary, is going to be making a statement to Parliament setting out the basis of legislation which would unilaterally set aside aspects of the protocol. And I suppose the key point we were trying to get across today is that things haven't moved in terms of the past year on breakthroughs around some of the challenges. And that, of course, is frustrating. But that's due to a lack of trust between the UK and the European Union, and a lot of a confrontational approach from the UK government, not taking the talks seriously, being very difficult in terms of their responses and reaction to different developments. And whenever you're potentially breaking international law and you're not honouring existing agreements, that just makes the task of finding legal sustainable outcomes a bit more difficult.
Did you ask Boris Johnson if he intended to table that sort of legislation, or if his government We did, yes.
I mean, we asked. I mean, is Liz Truss going ahead with the statement tomorrow? And he said yes. I mean, we did put to him that if he was genuinely serious about the words he was saying today around a more consensual approach and trying to find workable solutions, then he would not be doing that tomorrow. But he was very clear that as things stand, that is proceeding tomorrow. And that's the real contrast between the soft words and the desperate actions that are on the agenda for tomorrow, which will just make things worse in so many respects.
There has been some speculation that the British government might announce these plans for new domestic legislation tomorrow or this week, but maybe not actually table it in Parliament. I don't know, did you get into the detail of that with him?
No, we didn't get much detail in that regard. And often the way these things work anyway is that tomorrow will be a statement of policy intent. The legislation would normally follow separately in any event. So I'm not expecting the legislation to be imminent. But this is presumably this is part of a graduated response where they will set out what they plan to do and then slowly do it over the coming weeks and months, trying to ratchet up pressure with the European Union. But again, it's a fairly futile way of doing this, because you have to engender that degree of partnership with the European Union. You have to show that you are a trustworthy partner and that you're willing to make agreements and keep your word. And this will spark a strong reaction in the European Union. It will spark a strong reaction from the Biden administration. And at a time whenever we're trying to send a very strong signal to Russia over what's happening in Ukraine and really talking about the importance of adhering to international agreements and international law, it will send a terrible mixed message. So the government are going down a very dangerous route, potentially, over the coming days, which will just be a dead end. And the way to try to encapsulate this is that, I mean, people keep talking that there are landing zones out there around the protocol, and we accept there has to be some degree of agreement found on some of the more difficult aspects. But potentially within the next 24 hours, the pilot of the plane in the form of the UK Prime Minister is going to crash it.
Because you think if he does publish that legislation or table that legislation anyway, that will grind everything to a halt and result in perhaps EU action, that negotiations will end effectively.
Yeah, I mean, certainly negotiations will be in a much more difficult space than they should be. I mean, the people are frustrated at the lack of progress over the past 12 months. but they're taking the entirely wrong lesson from that. It's not because there isn't a way forward. It's that the optics, the whole atmosphere of the talks is entirely wrong, because the UK is not proving to be a reliable partner in that respect. So the European Union is actively discouraged from trying to find those breakthroughs. So there has to be a reset of the approach that has been taken to the talks. That's what we're calling for, as opposed to more confrontation.
The taunt that Simon Coveney has been talking about, the need to know what the UK is looking for at this point, and you're talking there about a landing zone. Did you get any sense from Boris Johnson as to exactly what it is he would need not to table this legislation tomorrow?
Well, I think nothing's going to break in the next 24 hours with the European Union. So this ultimately is going to have to be a judgment call for the UK in terms of what they perceive as the best way forward in terms of tactics. And certainly from our perspective, they're making a mistake. But the key areas for breakthrough are around SBS checks across the Irish Sea, whether we can get the system of a green and red channel in effect. So we differentiate between goods that are going to stay in Northern Ireland and those that are going to be moving on into the single market. So I mean, those are the key areas where we do think breakthroughs can be found. And of course, already we have a breakthrough in terms of medicines. But I think it's also important to understand that, I mean, in the event that the protocol was set aside, or, for example, the jurisdiction of the European Court of Justice was thrown out, that would compromise Northern Ireland's participation in the single market. So the protocol isn't just about the checks. The protocol is about keeping Northern Ireland in that single market, and that gives companies in Northern Ireland that unique ability to sell both in the Great Britain and the European Union unfettered. But if we end up with this sabre-rattling tomorrow, it's going to create a real uncertainty for people making investment decisions as what Northern Ireland's long-term relationship is going to be with the single market.
What
going to cost us jobs, potentially, in the short run.
Stephen, what also about Stormont then? Because if for example, it turns out, as you're outlining there, that the legislation is published or a statement of intent is published or something like that, but then it could take months, as you're saying, for that legislation to start working its way through Parliament in the UK. What does all that mean for Stormont?
Well, obviously, we're in an impasse, and we're trying to make the point to the Prime Minister very clearly that a majority of people, MLAs, businesses, both want the Assembly functioning and also want a pragmatic approach in terms of the protocol rather than confrontation. But one political party, in the form of the DUP, is holding the process hostage. It's unlikely that the DUP are going to get enough satisfaction in the short term. So the pressure has to be placed upon them to act in the interest of the people of Northern Ireland, including their own constituents who are suffering from the cost of living crisis and problems in terms of the health service. And the Prime Minister needs to stop indulging the DUP and their narrative and tell them some home truths about the reality of Brexit and the genuine choices that are available and those that aren't available.
With Sinn Féin's assessment that the British Prime Minister is placating the DUP at the expense of the other parties?
Well, certainly the entire narrative of the UK government is framed around the needs of unionism. Obviously, they're an important constituency in Northern Ireland, but they are nonetheless a minority, and there's less consideration given to the majority of people who want things to work and to work straight away. And one thing that the government can do is legislate to modify some of the structures of the Assembly and the Executive to stop the vetoes in the way that Sinn Féin were able to veto executive formation between 2017 and 2020, and the way the DUP are doing now. I mean, these are checks and balances in terms of ensuring that outcomes are reflecting the view of the people of Northern Ireland across the board. They're not meant to be an ability of one party to hold the whole system hostage.
Stephen, we'll leave it there for the moment, but thank you very much for joining us. That's Stephen Farry, Deputy Leader of the Alliance Party.